Amen. Good morning to everyone that is here. Thank God for your presence. Thank God for the opportunity to stand before you and speak his word. Amen. I'm getting ready to throw a double-edged sword. Let us not wait until days like this to say Happy Father's Day. Vice versa, even when we set aside the month to celebrate mothers, let us not wait to say Happy Mother's Day. My point in saying that is that we are in the habit of waiting to that day to say something nice to someone. But if you got something good, you need to say it as often as your mouth will open up. Amen. I don't think we should wait for a certain day to say something good to someone. As I said, it's a double-edged sword. It's going to cut both ways. So I thank those who said Happy Father's Day and vice versa. To those who are being good fathers. Amen. Women, if you have a good man, he's a good father, you better tell him. That's not a request. You better tell him. And likewise, if you got a good wife, man, you need to say it. Amen. You know why I'm saying that? Because somebody else will say it. Amen? Somebody else is looking at your wife, and somebody else is looking at you. My point is, we need to say it to one another. Amen? Amen. Thank God for this day that he has allowed us to be here. Amen? Judges. Chapter 7, verse 15. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? If you see it on the board, say amen on the screen. I'm reading from the King James Version. And we begin reading. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands and blew withal, and they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And there stood every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. Amen. To the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. I want to highlight that last verse that I read. In the last verse that I read, it says, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. What I want to really talk about this morning is men being in their place. That's something that is really hard to do in this day and age. One of the things that I want you to understand in the beginning is that God tells Gideon to tell all his soldiers who are afraid to go home. That's in that chapter. If you're afraid, go home. And 22,000 of the men returned, and 10,000 remained. That was a great test for Gideon's faith. His army started off at 32,000. The people who he was getting ready to fight, the Midianites, were 132,000, 135,000. So they already overmatched. But God said his army was too big, and he commanded Gideon to invite all who were afraid to go home. So Gideon was then left with 10,000 men. Gideon was probably surprised at the fact that he was left with 10,000 men. But we are told that they assembled in a place where they could see the 135,000, the Midianite troops. So they were positioned where they could actually see who they were getting ready to go up against. I believe you can find that that should be in Judges 7 and 8. The sight of a huge opposing army made the Israelites afraid. So Gideon had to separate the men according to a particular test. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. See, when God tests you, let me tell you something, it's a real test. All right. And then he said, basically, God was saying, I'm going to tell you who needs to go home because they're afraid. So everyone, God said, who laps from the water with his tongue and as the dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink and the number of those who lap putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. So basically, the ones who weren't paying attention when they took a drink, God said, you can send them home too. And then that left Gideon with 300. The 300 that remained, I like to say 300 plus one because Gideon made the plus one. But the 300 that remained were the ones that were paying attention to what was going on. And that's what God likes about his people, is being attentive to the enemy and to what's going on around you. So those who cupped the water in their hands and brought it to their mouth were better soldiers because they kept their eyes on their surroundings even when taking a drink. Men who lapped like a dog were not on guard and could be attacked by the enemy. So the people of Israel, they did something, I'm bagging up here, they did something that was evil in the sight of God, and God had placed them under the thumb of the Midianites. So now Midian was bearing down on them, ready to attack them and ready to go after them. So Gideon, before this test came, Gideon sent word out, because they were getting ready to go into attack, sent word out throughout the camp to all the men. In other words, they need some help. So 32,000 men showed up. 32,000. Listen to where I'm getting ready to make a point here. 32,000 men showed up at Mount Gideon to answer the threat. Gideon spoke. Word went out. 32,000 men show up. Now, that's what it calls being a man. You send out the call, 32,000 men show up. That's a blessing. The problem is not all of them proved to be real men. A man's place is to be a volunteer for the betterment of life. God wants men to volunteer, not somebody that's drafted. If you get somebody that's drafted, that means you're going to have to coerce, force them to do something. But somebody who is willing to give their service and their time, you don't have to beg them to do anything, because they're going to do it. God wants volunteers, because if you get a volunteer, they're going to do more than what they came to do. But if you draft somebody, they're going to do just that, and then they're going to go home. You understand what I'm saying? They ain't going to do anything extra. If you tell them to sweep the floor, they're going to come and sweep the floor, but they ain't going to pick up the trash. You just asked them to sweep the floor. You didn't say pick it up and put it in the trash and take the trash out. You just said, I need you to help me sweep the floor. So they're going to come and they're going to do just that, and then they're going to leave. And then they're going to say, well, I did what you asked me to do. But see, a volunteer will come, not only sweep the floor, pick the trash up, empty all the waste baskets, but will come back and mop it. Amen? We'll come back and mop it. Not only mop it, but see what else needs to be done and do that. That's the difference. God wants men to be volunteers, not draftees. And you know, let me say this. All of us are whining that in the land today, when it comes to complaining about women taking our places. That's the men whining and complaining. If any woman has occupied any place that God had really intended for a man to have, it's because that man refused to step forward and volunteer his service. In the first place, that man probably thought he should be in this position. I remember when I was in high school, wasn't saved. Let me make that clear. In high school, wasn't saved. It was time to vote for your class office. And these guys just thought that they were supposed to be the class president and the treasurer and all this stuff, because they were, so to be, quote unquote, back then, you felt like, even though you were teenager boy, you felt like you were a man. So they felt like they should be in this position because of their male status. But I told the guy, I said, I'm not voting for you. He looked at me. He was like, what do you mean? I said, I ain't voting for you. I said, you play too much. I said, I'm voting for this girl over here. He said, why are you voting for her? I said, because she gonna get the job done. You gonna play. You want something done? She's going to do it. You ain't going to do jack. You just want the position. My point, I was in high school. My point, what I'm trying to get you all to understand, men, just because it's a position that is appointed for you, don't mean it's just going to be handed to you. All right. Amen? God's purpose would not be defeated because men expect to be begged or recruited, or because men want special places to be reserved for them. Let me say this, whether in our church or in the world, if a man won't do it, let me tell you something, a woman will. Y'all understand me? I'm gonna tell you, if a tree needs to be cut down, I promise you, if the men are slow about cutting it, that woman is gonna find something to cut that tree down. I'm just being real with you. That's not being funny. That's not being sarcastic. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just laying it out there that if we take our time in doing something, that woman is gonna do it. Men, we must volunteer to do those things that we believe we can do better than anyone else in the world. We must do it. We must admit that God is in his redemptive way, has used the failure of men to gain for women a bigger piece of the action. All right. This, I believe, is God's justice and God's business. Men, we need to reenlist and our true places in the world. A man places to remain on spiritual alert. This is God's purpose in this 32,000. Out of 32,000, God can only find 300 good men. I guess y'all never thought of it that way, huh? Yeah, but this is revelation. Out of 32,000 men, God can only find 300 good men that was spiritually alert. Now you may say, no, 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 but this was a physical thing. But God also looks at the spiritual. God looked at the spiritual aspect of it. God was like, okay, let me test them. Let me prove. Let me see if you're a real man. Let me see. So God tested them. And when God tests you, trust me, you've been tested. Gideon's 300 men was alert, they were equipped, and they were ready to go. The Midianites, they were laying at camp, waiting to attack. God is saying to be watchful. God wants us to be alert to his voice and prepare for action. The failure of men today is that we do not have our eyes upon our enemies. It's not that we have our eyes upon our enemies. It's just that we don't have our eyes upon God. All 300 of these men found their place. The Bible says they stood every man in his place. They were ready to go. 300 were ready to go. God deals with small numbers. Many of you think that it has to be a large number for God to do something. No, it don't. It could be one. God is the majority. It could be one. All God is looking for is an obedient soul. When Gideon gave the command, all 300 blew the trumpets, broke the jars, and held the light torches. Together they sounded the battle cry, the sword for the Lord and Gideon, and the sound and the light show shocked everybody. God has his way of doing things. They making all this noise. Let me tell you something. They making all this noise and making all this, doing all this stuff that God had asked them to do, breaking pitchers and all kind of stuff. Guess what? The enemy got confused and started killing each other. The important thing to observe is that each man in Gideon's army did exactly what he was instructed to do. Obedience is the most important part of faith. You hear men say, I don't know my place anymore. I don't know what's expected of me. I don't know where I fit in. God's word teaches men our place. Word calls for men to be the spiritual headship in the home. Gideon's army dwindled down, but those who remained were true men and true volunteers in God's army. True men, true volunteers believed in the cause and they stepped forward. God needs volunteer with commitment to his cause. All right. Only the Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit's chief role is to empower believers to live supernatural lives. The Holy Spirit is the invisible power source for the church. If you read in Acts chapter 1 and 8, in verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now let me tell you this. Many of the disciples, many of the people of God in the Bible, they weren't bold. But when the Holy Spirit came, then that boldness came. Because you remember, Peter denied Jesus. How many times? Three. Now, when the Spirit of God came on Peter, Peter became bold. What I'm trying to tell you is that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, it gives you boldness that you need to do the job that God has asked you to do. Without the Holy Spirit, yes, you will be afraid. You will run. You will go in the opposite direction. Take, for example, the 22 men who were afraid left Gideon to fight with just 10,000. 22 men left. I'm going to tell you something. As a leader, you see 22,000 men leave and you get ready to fight 135,000. You don't think that's discouraging? Half your troops gone. You're already outnumbered and you got 22,000 men. You seeing them drop their stuff and pack up and go home? You looking like, come on now. And what are you left with? 10,000? When we don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of us, we will allow the enemy to get a foothold. A foothold inside of us. When this happens, the devil comes in like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you will allow the devil room to stay. All right. Let me give you an example where you can understand. Y'all ever pass these motels where it says vacancy? That's because nobody is occupying those rooms. But then when all the rooms are filled, it has no vacancy. So what I'm saying is that if you wanted to stay there, you can't. Why? Because the sign is lit up that says no vacancy. But wouldn't it be a blessing that if the devil came past you and he looked at you and he saw that the Holy Spirit was inside of you and he said, well, I can't stay here because there's no vacancy. But if you don't have that sign that's displaying on you, that is showing, then the devil will look and say, oh, there's room for me to be here. And you allow him to use you. How do we do that? Well, your mind becomes a place where he can attack you. He will infiltrate your thinking and cause you to waver in your faith. He will tell you, you can't trust God. There's no way, no way you can get that done or you can do that. There's no way you can be healed. There's no way God is going to deliver you. There's no way you're going to be saved with all that crap that you've done in your life. There is no way. He allows you to think that way. And when you don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the devil can play all kinds of havoc with your mind and cause you to begin to think in a way that God does not want you to think. But when God is in your spiritual life and the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you, we will immediately recognize when the enemy is coming in trying to defeat us and cause us to do evil things to one another. We are a church family of volunteer soldiers who have enlisted in the work of the kingdom of God. We signed up and became loyal and faithful to God. You signed up because this is what you want to do. All In Gideon's army, every man was a volunteer. He sent out the word, and they captured the word, and they came ready to serve. It was a volunteer. It wasn't like, you know, being drafted. It was a volunteer. The word went out. Some folks want you to beg them, you know, and some folks want you to chase them, you know, constantly chase them, call them, tell them. You know what time church start. Amen.
Right.
You know what time you, I'm going to tell you something. When folks need something, oh, they know where to find you. Right. But check this out. Check this out. Let me go there with you. But if, let's just say, any other time they don't need something.
All right.
And they'll say something like, well, I couldn't find you. I don't know. I lost your number. Trust me, you can't sell me that. I'm like, Jesus, why were you looking for me all over the place? You know where I was. I was in my Father's house. So don't tell me that you was looking for me, or you couldn't reach me, or you couldn't find me, or you know where I am. You have heard folks say, I lost your number, I couldn't find your number. Oh, they know you a child of God. They know where they can find you. Because I'm just going to have to go there. If Joseph and Mary knew better, they knew where to find Jesus.
All right.
You should know your child. So the question is, every man stood there in his position, in his place. How is your position in this volunteer army of God? How are you? Are you giving it all you got, or are you holding back? You don't have to tell me. You could just be between you and God. Because here's the thing. Even if folks do tell you, they still going to be holding back. Because they're not going to tell you everything. And they're not going to be truthful. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you, let's just go there. Let's just say this. If you tell everybody to empty out their pockets with money, you know, some folks may keep a little something for themselves. Am I right? Am I right? Y'all need to say it. If I'm right, I'm right. Folks will keep a little something for themselves. Or you tell spouses to come together, and you tell spouses, okay, let's put everything in this jar. Still gonna hold back. The question is, how are you serving God? Our lifestyle should be a service, a worship. But how are you serving Him in the ministry? Every time you look up, you see the same people doing the same thing. You know why? Because other people won't get involved. This is why it's like that. It's not that, you know, we want that person to be permanent in that position. It's just that no one else wants to do anything. Here's the question that you need to ask. Can God say you are trustworthy? Here's what I like about these 300 men. They were alert. They were ready to go. Regardless of the odds that was against them, their leader reached out to them, asked them for help. They came willing, even though 22,000 left, then another 10,000 left, that 300 stood strong. And that 300 was willing to go the distance with their leader. That is a blessing. The test given to the remaining army of the people, of the 10,000 that was tested, they were tested on their alertness and their readiness. Only 300 men passed the test. So sometimes you got to wonder, I wonder if I will pass the test that God gives me. Y'all ever seen a lion take a drink? When a lion take a drink, that lion is paying attention. Let me, I'm just saying, do you just watch a lion. When he gets thirsty, yeah, he's thirsty, and he also understands that there's enemies all around him. Why? Because they all want a piece of this water. And he also know that there's something in the water that got their eyes looking up at him. Y'all understand? And they kind of, and then when you come to the water, knowing you're thirsty, you know, their eyes are looking, and then they go down. And they start moving towards you. But the alligator realized that there's an enemy in the water. That if he's not paying attention, that enemy will ambush him or her. The point that I'm trying to make is that God knows that lion is going to pay attention when he goes and get a drink. So God was trying to test the people to say, hey, let me see. I'll tell you who's real man here. God tested them. Ladies, if you got a man, when the doorbell rings, he lets you answer the door, there's a problem. You may say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because I'm going to tell you, thinking as a man, if I wanted to attack the house, I'm already observing. I'm looking. And I'm seeing. I don't mean no disrespect. But I ain't afraid of getting hit by a woman. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not afraid of being hit by a woman. It's not going to hurt. I'm sorry. And here's why I'm saying that. Here's why. Y'all know how boys play on the playground? We beat each other up. Y'all ever seen the difference on the playground? The women play, their side is more organized, more playful, and all of that. It's a lot of, like, kumbaya going on over there. Everybody's getting along. But y'all ever seen the side where the boys is look like World War III? Am I right? I mean, I'm just being real with y'all. I'm not trying to make you laugh. I'm being real with y'all. When I was in grade school, they separated. You know, the younger kids, everybody was outside together, big and young. Kindergartens, all of us. We was on side with a girl, the younger boys, we were on side where the girls were. Girls took care of you, everything. If you fall, they picked you up and they brush you off and everything. Just a cutie little boy, you know, and all that type of stuff. Okay? Now, as you get older, you start to get rough. And so they send you over there to the boys' side. You understand what I'm saying? And on the boys' side, I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on. I mean, stuff flying all over the place. And one time, man, I mean, I wasn't supposed to be over there. That's not a surprise. But I went over there anyway. Got stitches. Okay? Got stitches. My point is, I got up and wanted to keep playing. But people have to tell you, you're bleeding. You need to go. You ain't supposed to be over here anyway. My point is, I was like, oh, blood. Okay. I was like this, wiping and clothes, and you just go on about your business. But my point is, I know women say men can't tolerate pain, this, that, and the other. Somebody unpause me. Unpause me. All right. Yeah. Yes, we can. I know I'm going to be tested when I get home. I might get hit with an iron or something. Something may come flying across the room. You need to redo that sermon because you are hurt right now. So you're going to have a do-over. You're going to come to church and say, this is part two of what he talked about this Sunday on Father's Day. And it wasn't right. If you think I'm going to get up here and change it, no. But my point is I'm trying to get you all to understand the enemy comes, and he comes in like a flood. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, when we deal with the enemy is coming at you. 300 men stood there and ready to go into battle. Now, Gideon must have been discouraged. How could he defeat these Midianites, these Amalekites, with an army of only 300 people? Well, first of all, God was on their side. Yeah. Amen? God was on their side. That's how he was able to defeat them. We have to learn that we have to be aware and alert, and we have to be ready. As my point, as I was saying, women, you need to allow that man to answer the door. Let him be the front line of defense in your home. In other words, ladies, what I'm saying, let that man be a man. That's what you married. That's what you got. Amen. If you order a steak and they bring you out chicken, you'll want to change. You say, hey, that's not what I ordered. I ordered a steak. Huh? I didn't order chicken. You tell that waiter to send it back. Am I right? Let me know. Let me know I'm right. Don't just laugh at me. Say amen. That's when you're saying that it's right. I remember we were in Florida. I got out the truck. I got a lot of wife sermons, you know, messages. Got out the truck, pumped gas. Yeah, filling up. We on our way back home from the beach. I go back to the... couldn't get in the truck. My wife had to unlock it. I said, well, baby, why you unlock the door? That man over there looking at me. I looked. I got swole in the chest. I said, he looking at you. I said, baby, I got a 9 on my side. He got to come through me before he can get you. Unlock this door. I need to hop in. I tell you, lock me up. Maybe I need to go back to the beginning of the Bible. Didn't the guy say that the wife's supposed to be the helpmate? And he got me locked out. What I'm saying is, that's what you married. You married a man. I'ma do that. When the Holy Spirit wasn't inside of the disciples, they were afraid. But when they got the Holy Spirit, they became bold. You understand what I'm saying? See, when they received the Holy Spirit, they received power. See, it didn't happen because, when they received the power from the Holy Spirit, it didn't happen because of a change of their environment. It didn't happen because they got themselves a new pastor. The only difference was the Holy Ghost power came upon them and a change took place. That's when they became bold. And as I said before, they won the battle because God was on their side. Gideon the 300 had the courage to take a united stand against the enemy. The rest of them left. They're gone. All I got is what I got left. I'm going to say this. I don't have 300 men here. All I got is a few. But the few that I have, I thank God for those few. Because here's the thing. I can work with those few that's working with me. Amen. That is a blessing. I thank God for the few that I have. And the few that I have is doing a work of the Lord. And I thank God for that. If I try to go out there and do something, they're like, no, you just, and I be trying to get in there and do something, they're like, no, they don't want me doing anything. So then I just like, fine, I won't bother with y'all then. I go someplace else. My point that I'm trying to make is that these men were united together for the same cause. You see, it's one thing to take a stand and another thing to fast when the enemy in the battle surges towards you. 300 men stood firm and followed Gideon, the Lord, and their battle plan, even though it was in the middle of the night and it was in the valley filled with the enemy. A victory was won because 300 men took part in what God wanted them to do. It's all God needs. Because, see, the thing about it is, sometimes if the number is too large, you would say, we did this. That's the first thing you say. We did this. It ain't we did it. God did this. This roof, we didn't do this. God did this. As I said, if you can listen to the recording, I would say, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know that God is going to make a way somehow. No money in the bank, but we serve a God who has everything. 300 men stood strong in their place and took down this army. Imagine Gideon going into a battle against the Midianites in the dark night, and half of his men decided to stay home. He's getting ready to go to war. Half of his men is at home chilling, doing nothing. But see, the 300 men, every man did his part and stood fast. 300, standing firm, caused thousands to flee. In the church, the Lord commands each of us to do our part. Every member is responsible for his or her own salvation and for their own spiritual work.
All right.
Everybody, you're responsible for your own salvation, your own works. I can invite you to come. I can, you know, say, hey, it's the scripture says, forsake not to assemble yourself among the household of faith, but it is up to you to make your business to be here.
All right.
I can't, you know, folks be like, you know, call me and wake me up. No, when you go on your job, do you have anybody to call you and wake you up? No, you use that alarm clock and you set it and you make sure that you arrive on time. It's amazing how we treat our job better than we treat the Lord. And when God's the one that gave you the job.
All right.
And see, the one thing I like about this united front with these 300 men, every man helped each other. You had to. You only had 300. You had to help each other. Each man did his work. They won the battle. You cannot be a lone ranger on this Christian journey. We need each other. That's why a lot of people are going through hell now, because they're trying to do it by themselves. You ain't going to make it.
All right.
That's why God said, forsake not to assemble yourself among the household of faith. You need support. You need some help.
Yeah.
This is the reason why God didn't, when he created the world, he didn't just leave Adam by himself. God said it's not good for man to what? Be alone. God said he needs somebody. So if God really wanted us to be by ourselves, he would just created this world over here, drop somebody there, and created this world here, drop somebody there. He didn't do that.
Right.
He created us to work together. Gideon had 300 men who worked great together. And they accomplished what God had for them to accomplish. Gideon and his 300 men won because every man not only knew his place, but he was standing in it.
All right.
Isn't that a blessing? Not only do they know their place, but was standing in it. If you are a Christian, your place is in the light with the fellowship of God and his saints. That's where your place is. And if you're not a Christian, you're in darkness. Let me say this. God will take care of the enemy and the problems that you have in this life. God will take care of that. All God required was faithfulness. That's all he wanted. God, see, here's the thing. God is not asking for much from us. We make it seem like it's a lot. For example, when you start cutting back on the things that you shouldn't eat, you start having a panic attack because you think you can't survive or make it without it. Yes, you can. Your body is just accustomed to those things that you shouldn't have. It's not that you can't live without it. It's just that you want it. And your body is craving it. And let me tell you something. If there's not a stronger spirit inside of you, you're going to give in to that flesh. That's why people start saying food starts talking to them. No, food does not talk. Y'all ever heard people say that? It called my name. No, it did not. That's your flesh calling you, telling you to go and do something that you shouldn't do. You walk past it and say, what? That's you. That is not that dessert that is sitting on the counter. You got to have some willpower. It shouldn't be there, Pastor. You shouldn't walk past it. Gideon's army, they wasn't given a victory because of the size of their army. Their army, they were given a victory because of their obedience. That's why they won. Y'all know the odds. 300 against 135,000. I already know where you're going to put your money at. Right. You're going to put your money on 135,000. But I advise you to check who's with that 300. Right. Because if God is with that 300, you better put your money on the 300. Otherwise, you're out of some money. Right. Because if that 300 is in obedience with God, look out. Because God is gonna allow that 300 to prevail over his enemy. All right. Look at Israel. Israel has always been a small nation. But Israel, only when they sinned against God, has God allowed them to be defeated. All right. But man, when they repented and when they asked for forgiveness, look out. You got caught when you started attacking them. Because now God turned the tables. That's why I'm saying to you, you better make sure who you fighting against. Because if you're fighting against God, you're not going to win that battle. All right. Let me say this as I get ready to close. Gideon's men would not have seen the victory if they wasn't standing in their place. If the Bible said that every man was not standing in his place, they wouldn't have won. But the Bible said every man stood in his place. That's why they won. So if they have never been in their place, they would have never won. When you obey a simple task God gives you, he will be able to work in your life and show you better things. Right. Simple task. Here's the thing. When I first started working, I was offered a job. Didn't pay what I wanted. Follow me. And the lady offered me the job. And I held on the phone. I remember this so clear. I was over my grandparents' house. And that's the number that you know you use as an alternate because, you know, somebody is always at that house. So I held on the phone, and the lady said, hello? Hello? I said, I'm still here. She said, do you accept the job? I had to think about it. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that no money, some money. I said, yeah, I take the job. It didn't pay what I want. Listen to what I'm saying. It wasn't paying what I want. But thanks be to God, I took the job. Because in taking a job, as I got in the job and started working, God began to do a work with me in the job. And my point that I'm trying to make is that not only did he begin to do a work in me on that job, God blessed me to where the salary came up to where I wanted. But I had to first be obedient and just accept the job. I had to first accept my assignment. You know, sometimes we look at it and we're like, I don't like that. It ain't how I want it. It ain't coming to me how I want it. You know why we think that way? Because we're too busy watching our neighbors. And we watch our neighbors. When they get something, they get it, and we like how they received it. And so we feel like we should receive it that same way or better. And that is the wrong type of spirit to have, because God works in mysterious ways. He's not going to work the same way he always worked. He could work in a different way. So I understood a little bit of how God worked, knowing that if I accept this job, because to be honest with you, there's people who can confirm that my original plan was to be working at the railroad. Y'all remember that? Was waiting on a job at the railroad, didn't want to take this job, but God said, get your foot in the door over here and I can bless you. But my mind was on working at the railroad, being with my family and everybody that was over there. God said, that ain't where I want you. Because see, here's the danger in that. You don't know what could have happened if I had went over there. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Anything could have happened. Could have lost an arm. Could have lost the entire body. You know, my point is that we don't know the danger that lies ahead of us. And God is trying to prevent us from going someplace that we're not paying attention. And to be out there in that railroad, I know this for sure. You better be alert out there. Because if you're not, you will lose your life. It should be the ultimate desire of every woman to have a husband who is empowered to lead. God has placed in a man to be at the forefront to lead their families into the things of God. God has given every man the power to subdue their encounters. Utilizing biblical principle, men are created and designed to lead. That's how God wired us. Providing for his family, present and future, is one of the sure signs of a man taking his rightful place in the home. Providing is a man's very essence for existing. That's our very essence. Whatever it takes for the family to survive, the man will find a way. I remember when my grandfather, I heard the stories, I couldn't tell a difference. Listen to what I'm saying. Couldn't tell a difference. But I heard the stories of how he got laid off. But yet, he found ways to continue to provide for his family. That's being a man. You understand what I'm saying? When you have that many mouths to feed, that's being a man. Making every provision, every type of trade or whatever you can think of, whether it be cutting grass, washing cars, or fixing lawnmowers, you do whatever it takes to put the food in your children's mouths. That's what being a man is about. The provision, God has designed the man to provide. He will lead the man to places. This is what God would do. He will lead the man to places he needs to go to find provision for his family. Y'all understand that? God will lead that man in places that he should go to provide for his family. Man must be responsible enough to move when provision has been identified. He must act in a way that will always portray his ultimate responsibility, and that's being the provider. When men are not providing for the home becomes insecure, and incomplete. The home is in jeopardy of being torn by unnecessary pressure, unreasonable oppression. This is due to the fact that the head is not in the position, but it is out of position. Men are called to be mentors to other men and young boys by nurturing them to maturity. The youth of today is without question living in a shortage of godly fathers, mentoring them. The many mistakes that the children that we made as a child, listen to what I'm saying. The mistakes that I made as a child, my son, if I'm in his life and if I'm mentoring him like a man supposed to be, he should not be making those same mistakes. Because that's what mentoring is about. Mentoring is about making sure. Now, it's not saying that my son is going to be perfect. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he should not be making the same mistakes that I made when I was growing up if I'm in his life. Because if I'm in his life, I'm telling him, son, this is what happened to me. And if you do this, it's what's going to happen to you. So in other words, if we are men doing this in our children's lives, not only would the homes be better, but the town would be better. Not only would the town be better, but the state would be better. Not only would the state be better, but this world would be better. If we are doing what we're supposed to do, taking the time out, if it's no more than just taking a ball and tossing it back and forth, that's spending time out with your children. Because let me tell you, when they get older and you have not done what you're supposed to do when they're young, when they get older, they ain't gonna want to have nothing to do with you. They ain't gonna want to be bothered with you. They ain't gonna call you. They ain't gonna talk to you. They ain't gonna wanna say, no, daddy who? They ain't my daddy. They ain't do nothing for me. This is what they will say. And any man that come into their life that shows them any attention, that's who they gonna gravitate to. And your feelings gonna be hurt. Because somebody is taking your place. Your position. Let me tell you something. There ain't a man around that's going to take my place from my son. Because I'm all up in his life. In his world. As well as my daughters as well. When there are no mentors, then every child is being subject to the destruction without instructions. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Men who mentor their children are setting them up for success, giving them a chance of a lifetime by spending time with them, teaching them. Men are to be the covering for the family. No disrespect, but a woman can't be the covering. That man is the covering for their family. He is responsible for protecting and shielding them from hurt, harm, and danger. I had one preacher, pastor, say his wife is his covering. No. I don't mean no disrespect, but no. We need to understand who's is in that leadership role in the home. Now, there's always been a fight in leadership. Satan fought God for leadership power. Every time somebody gets in leadership, they're a target. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They just might as well just get a target and put it on them and be like, I'm in leadership. Because here it comes. Attacks always going to be on their head. Let me tell you something. If you ain't being attacked, you ain't doing nothing. I'm being real with you. If you ain't being attacked, if you ain't felt attacked or any of that, you ain't doing nothing. And then if I were you, I'll look around and see who I'm walking with. Because if you're walking with the devil, he ain't gonna attack you. But when you walk, when you get saved, now you're gonna have to go back through them devils. Now you get ready to get attacked. See, this world, let me tell you what this world is trying to do as I close. See, this world wants the men want men to get in touch with their feminine side. Ain't nothing feminine about me. Nothing. A wife tell me, said, let's go shopping. And be like, what do you think about this color? I don't think nothing about it. I don't think nothing. You ready to pay for it? Let's go. That's all I do. I mean, it looks nice. I mean, it's okay. It's all right. That's my response. It's been my, I used to make Bob mad because that was my simple response. It has always been, all right. That's all I know. It's all right. It's a simple, I don't know anything more. My brother's laughing because it's true. That's been my response since I've been on this earth. It's all right. My point is, what I'm trying to say is that this world wants you to tap into the feminine side. There is none. Now they got men, you know, now you got men shaving their legs and women shaving their heads. This is what society likes and approves of. I saw a commercial one time, had a man shaving his legs in the tub. I said, a man don't shave his legs in the tub. Or in the shower. We don't do any of that. The only thing we shave is this. Right. Facial hair. That's it. You don't do a commercial for a man to shave. Like, we don't do that. Right. Or in the shower. But I'm going to leave with this. And remember this. 21st verse. And they stood, every man, in his place, round about the camp. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled. You want to know why they fled? Because 300 men stood strong, ready to go to war against the enemy. In other words, they were ready to take it to them. Maybe that 135,000 saw real men stand up that day. So maybe they didn't have 135,000 men because they ran too. But see, when a real man show up, he's going to take charge. He's going to put things in order. Why? Because God has designed a real man to do that. Real men show up. What are we talking about? What's going on? Find out. You want to get to the bottom of it. All right. Who is this saying something about my wife? All right. Saying something about my kids? Where they at? Right. Point them out. Right. I'm going to have a little talk with them. Right. We're just going to talk. You ain't got to worry about it. Just going to have man to man talk. Right. See, we need to, the women, y'all need to let the man be a man. Uh-huh. Let him take care of you. All right. Amen? That's why you married him, right? I mean, and some of these men talking about some, I'd satisfy 30 women. Let me tell you something. That ain't a man. That's a punk. All right. Satisfy 30 women. Let me tell you something. A real man take that same woman and satisfy her 30 times.
All right. Come on with it.
Don't get me started. All right. That's a real man who can satisfy the same woman for 30-something years, 40 years, 50 years. That's a real man. You get you one of those, you got you a man. And be careful who you marry, because everybody ain't real. Amen? And man, when you sit down with them, you better look at some pictures. Amen?
Amen. Better look at some, sit down and go through the book and look at some pictures. Am I right? Am I right, Uncle Ricky? Better look at some pictures, get the photo album out, sit down and just talk and inspect, see what you're working with. Amen. Doors of the church is now open. We are extending an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. Doors of the church is now open. You may come. At this time, amen. Let us all stand as we prepare ourselves. To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the church say amen.